from hurts to habits to hang-ups, recovery, what you heard on the video, and what I'm about to tell you. I want you to write down for yourself, you, not your spouse, not your kids, mom, dad, you, what you struggle with, issues. Let me help you. Gambling, lust, sex addiction, cancer, time management, control, food, grief, anxiety, depression. Everybody got something? Okay. So, I want you to acknowledge something at this moment. Anything that any one of you have written down, it didn't stop you from getting here. It didn't stop you. You are here. You made it. You're okay. You are safe. Would you agree with me on that? Yes. We're going to get back to that in a moment. I want you to hang on to that. Here is my list of what could have stopped me from getting here. I have been an enabler, codependency, binge drinking for anger, binge drinking for pain, bereavement, currently with being compliant, depression, anxiety. That's just a small list. And guess what? They don't define me. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, faithful believer and follower best that I can, humanly possible. They don't define me. My name is Laura. I'm glad you're here. Sit in here with me. I want to tell you a little short story. In 2018, I was in a leadership meeting. We were doling out roles. And I'm sitting there taking notes. And all of a sudden, when it came time to who wants to do their testimony, it went like this. Like compelled by God. I wanted to use, you know, like the Holy Spirit. Something made me go like this. And then I went, well, what did I just do? Because I had never given one. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't, you know, I had heard of it, but I did not know. Anyway, so later when I'm going home, I'm arguing with God. All the way down from here to Mancos, to my address. God, what have you done? Why? Really? Me? I mean, it was quite the argument. That's what I do. Anyway, it would take 4 days for me to get a confirmation from God that, yes, I want you to do this. I was sitting in Denny's, having lunch, thinking about it, getting anxious about it, upset with myself, really, really rolling myself around in the dirt. This waitress next over here in the next table, she's starting to reset the table, and out of nowhere, she goes, the struggle is real, people. The struggle is real. And then she continued her job. Well, there was my confirmation because I had only heard that in Celebrate Recovery. So, there was my answer, and now I'm going to tell you what testament and testify and what they mean to me. All right? Okay, here we go. At first, I relate them to giving witness and statement to facts and truth of an event, like usually in a court trial. When I think about it as it relates to Celebrate Recovery, it is exactly that. It is my trials, my struggles, and my journey in God's grace. The facts and truths of where I was, where I am now, where I'm headed, where I must go, and what I must do to get there. My testimony is important. Many others have come before me. Let's take the Old Testament, for example. It tells of the people whose lives were intertwined with God. The testimonies of these people God wanted and needed to be instrumental in His glory. They told of their struggles and their journeys. They also told of their faithfulness or not, the consequences, good, bad, ugly. I looked at the New Testament too. The coming of Jesus was told. His life, teaching, reaching out in love to lost, desperate, unknowing people. These people would testify to Him defeating the grave. Amen. They would testify to the power, mercy, and grace of God, and how they came to Jesus to know God through Him. If you look at your notes in Psalms 22:22, we are reminded, I will praise you to all my brothers. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done. So, in 8 years, I have been in Celebrate Recovery. I have learned that as my journey happens, my testimony changes. This is because of my growth in my relationship with God. So, where do I begin? Well, my dad was a military man in the Navy. My mother was a young wife. I had one older brother at this time. And my mother had given up her dream and want of being a medical technician. Instead, she began her journey of being a young mother afflicted by alcoholism. By 1980, there would be six of us. I cried every time I was told we were having another one. At a very young age, I was changing diapers, doing laundry, fixing baby bottles, and at times sharing laundry or sharing bath water to save water. Anyway, as I think about this chaos and the insanity of my childhood, I also remember the front and back of my mother's hand. She was flying through the air or other handy items to get the point across that she was displeased. Some of those years seem like a blur. Others stick out like a sore thumb. And the chaos wasn't only at home. I have red hair, as you can see. It was a rare thing back then in my school. I was bullied, insulted, and sometimes taken to the playground for dirt scrapping. Pippi Longstocking, Orphan Annie, and other unfit names and taunting songs would be everyday dealings for me. I ran away from home a total of 9 times. The last time I paid for it dearly, I barely walked away from that. These kinds of things weren't addressed in the society I grew up in. Taboo was the word that was used. Everybody knew about it, but nobody knew what to do. So let me tell you about the other side of the coin. I was young. I was sure I knew what to do. I was privileged to go to church, and I went every Sunday. Goodness, how wonderful. I would stay as long as they would let me. And as I got older, I joined the choir. I learned to lead the little kids' class. I joined youth group, and I served at all the luncheons that I could. I sought out other moms to give me reasons not to go home. I learned everything I could about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible, a dictionary, and a set of encyclopedias were my best friends. So by the age of 13, I took a 6-month class to learn about baptism. I so wanted God to save me. Forgive me for whatever it was I had done wrong to cause this hell I was living in. I fully understood I was accepting Jesus as my Savior and that God is the Omega. I did get baptized on April 3rd of 1983. The chaos continued, though. I still kept my promise to be good, to pray, to follow the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, memorize the Beatitudes of God's promises. I learned all the important stories in the Bible, verse after verse, and all the songs that go with the stories. I began to hide in my room with my Bible and God. I begged for his mercies. I began to neglect myself. I felt I had no worth, and I was lost in the destruction of other people. When I was old enough, I hatched the perfect plan to get out of this. I joined the Army Reserves. 18 months, and I would be out of this chaos, abuse, and insanity. I was unaware that the best laid plans could be destroyed. During my senior year in high school, I would experience bullying at its worst. A boy decided to set my hair on fire in typing class. In a flash of about 3 seconds, all the years of abuse, torture, bullying, it raged inside of me. My anger was full throttle. I leapt over the desk, and I released all I could on that boy. I received suspension for 5 days as a consequence of my own anger. My parents, of course, were outraged, and my recruiter at the time told me strike one. My mother's infidelities would come to surface shortly after that. My parents separated, divorced. My dad would unwillingly have to leave us with our mother. I loved him so much, and I missed him dearly. Our mother's presence became really sparse. I would now be responsible for 3 other siblings and myself because one of my brothers had been removed to a boys' home and my other brother had gone off to his army duties. I dropped out of high school to tend to all these house duties that needed to be done. Strike 2. How could this get any worse? I prayed, cried. I begged God for anything to make this stop. I kept reading my Bible. There had to be an answer in there somewhere. I watched my family fall apart. In March of 1990, we would have to move out of the house that we had grown up in. And my mother actually told me I would have to find somewhere else to live because there wasn't room for me in the house we were moving to. I finally found a couple who would take me in, and I wasn't even 18 yet. I was leaving anyway to be in the Army Reserves, right? That day finally came, and I was going to be free. I took one last ride on the horses that I had grown up with. I got thrown from that horse. It injured my arm, and I tried to hide it. Strike three. I would be medically discharged from the unit that I served. 5 days later, I found myself soaking in my own self-pity party. I was babysitting, and that night, I would survive a brutal sexual assault while trying to protect the children. Where was God? How could this happen? Where was my mother? Why? Why? This became the lowest point of my life so far. I was angry, all right, at the world and most of all, God. As I look back at this moment in my life, though, my current thoughts are this. Yes, I carry the scars and the damage from it. And even though someone else tried to silence me, God has given me the opportunity to use what voice I have left to spread the good news of his love, mercy, and grace for me. Amen. I would spend the next 5 years hiding, healing, in counseling, and trying to find myself. I didn't pray so often. I didn't beg. I was lost. I want to talk about the year 1993 at this moment. Partway through this process, I had finally gotten back up on my own 2 feet. I was once again going to do my plan. I was unattached. I went into nursing and moved here to Colorado. I was living it up, enjoying life, and finding myself a little bit of God here and there. I tried to reconnect with the good things I had been taught. I began to feel stronger about my relationship with God. Then, one day, I was introduced to Leroy. It's going to be okay. I played it really slow. I was still healing from the dysfunction. I would only talk to him on the phone for hours because this was safe. This lasted for about 3.5 weeks. We decided to meet, and things would progress from 1.5 years dating to a 23-year marriage and our amazing son. I look back at Leroy and I often. In our beginning, I was pregnant and had given up my nursing career after our son was born. I began my journey as a young wife. Oh, my. What did I experience in our first years of being married? I went backwards. Everything I had tried to get away from, I was back to alcohol, abuse, no self-worth, and neglect. I was again lost in my own and someone else's destruction. How could this happen? This time I decided I would fight back with God in me. I turned myself into the prayer queen. My Bible, the books I had acquired, every song I could remember flowed out of me. There just didn't seem to be a difference. In 2001, my father-in-law would die, and everything we had worked for would be lost. I didn't give up hope, though. God was with us, right? Well, it's hard to sum up 23 years of life with someone. But after this life, after this loss, life took a really, really bad toll on us. I would see my mother's character emerge from my husband. The drinking and the anger worsened. A blur was happening again. I wanted to run, just like in the past. In 2015, another year of devastation, another trial of my loyalty to God with the man that I loved. In January, my youngest brother would die. They ruled it as a suicide. I prayed and I mourned. My husband's work would take him away from home, and this led to questions of his wants of infidelity. In March of 2015, we would be told he had skin cancer that had progressed into his spine. He would have to take medical leave, and then it would be up to me to work as many hours as I could, take him to treatment, and pray over him for healing. This would, thank God, be a battle that we won. In August, we decided to try to help my late brother's girlfriend and the 2 children that he had left behind. This trial in itself would separate us as a family. We would crash and burn. I was scared for my life this time. I dug in deeper than ever to understand how and why. Now, as I hid unwillingly, I clung to God with all I had. It would be November 28th, just 3 months later, I was at home alone in a house I no longer wanted to be a part of. I was fighting the urge to run. I had taken all I could. I was feeling weak in my faith. I cried and I went to my knees. I begged God, I'm done. I'm lost. Please, God, if there's any hope for me, take me and show me. For I don't know what I have done. I stayed that way all night. And in the morning, I got up and cleaned myself up. I grabbed my Bible and I got in my truck and I prayed. Just take me where you want me. Well, it was a short drive. It was a little blur as I pulled into the campus, the driveway of Rock Springs. I had no idea that was a church. I was still dazed. I walked into the doors, partially numb with fear. I couldn't get past the foyer. You guys have no idea how long I stayed out there. I took a knee of surrender again, and I would hear in my ears, "Get up, my child, and go in here." I had no other choice but to obey. I walked through those double doors, and to my surprise, there stood a very familiar friend of mine, Miss Tanya. There was only an embrace I will never forget. I cried as she held me, and I could feel God's arms around both of us. The congregation happened to be singing 10,000 Reasons, a song I had never heard before. I would stay through the service with my friend, and before I left, she offered Celebrate Recovery to me. No real details. Just this is when and if you want. Well, it was my choice. Well, I returned to attend Celebrate Recovery on December 5th of 2015. This is the day I mark as one of the smartest choices I ever made. Over the next few weeks, I would attend church service, celebrate recovery, and begin reconciliation with my husband. I hadn't told him what I was doing. Still cautious of him. Well, he brought about the subject on his own one day. He wanted to know if I was going to church. Had I heard about this Celebrate Recovery? Oh, man, my heart swelled. And I cried, yes. Yes, I do. Yes. We agreed to give it our best, honest effort. I wanted us to make it through this. As long as we kept God in the center of it, I believed we could make it. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't all peaches and cream. And it wasn't all bad. We relapsed and we got back up together. We both made new acquaintances, friends, and came to find a new understanding of what we both had learned in our younger years. We renewed our commitment to each other and to God in the privacy of our own home. We would find out in November of 2017 that something was really wrong once again with Leroy's health. In December, towards the end of Leroy's life, we found the struggle to be so real. It was so real. As I spent the last days with him, I clung to everything we had in God. Celebrate Recovery, Rock Springs, ourselves. I had started a first step study, so I had my sisters praying for me and with me when I had no words. Those who had become our dearest friends kept faithful and still remain so today. I held closest in my heart the Serenity Prayer. We finished this prayer with everything after everything we do in CR. So it would be our final prayer together. The days afterward, our son and I struggled with every step. In my prayers, I begged not to lose him also. I felt so lost. In the step study, we had just begun our inventory. I wrote constantly, thankful for the people throughout my life who had either encouraged me, embraced me, angered me, or hindered me. Everybody went on the list. Forgiveness was needed. I found my life first at this time. Isaiah 30:21. That's there in your notes. And if you leave God's path and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, "No, this is the way. Walk here." And to support that, Proverbs 4:26. Watch your step. Stick to the path. Be safe. Don't sidetrack. Pull your foot back away from danger. As I went forward into 2018, I reminded myself of all the good things in our marriage. It is hard to sum up 23 years of life with someone, as I said before. But I concluded, we weren't bad people. We made bad choices. We did our worst. We did our best. And losing my chaotic redneck soulmate was devastating. The most devastating part of it all, though, was to lose the very goodness that we were experiencing finally with each other. Earlier, I mentioned 8 years. 5.5 of that has been a major part of my growth and recovery. I am now bereaved by my brother, the mother of his children, my husband, my biological mother, whom I was estranged from for 27 years, our beloved dog who sat beside me during all my grieving, they would all be added to the list. In February of 2020, my stepmother had a stroke. This changed not only her life, but the entire lives of our huge family. It seems that learning to deal with the death of others has been the headline for my life. I stand here to tell you what I have learned. Being widowed has taken me to some dark places. My anger was at its worst. One more death could possibly send me screaming into craziness. I thankfully made the choice to be in another step study. I found the root cause of all my anger, believe it or not. I wrote letters to the deceased people no longer in my life. And as I began to heal and feel peace in my struggle, I would reach out for help. I received more counseling. I haven't felt well physically for some time now. COVID, of course, made it a slow progress to find out what has been wrong with me. Once again, I have been blessed to have my CR and Rock Springs family praying for me. There are answers and solutions that I am not happy about. I plan to prove to the doctors, though, that I have found peace. I hope they begin to understand that when a person has absence of chaos and adrenaline of anger, that person's body has to adjust to the calm and welcome the release. I am alive by God's love and grace for me. Joy is the flag that has flown high in my heart because Jesus is my King and He lives there. I am going to be okay. There are definitely other things that have happened that are too much to share at this time. And the most important points I want you to take from this are, I am responsible now for my recovery. I did a third step study and the journey continues. I learned about anxiety and this has become crucial in my recovery to move forward. I was feeling as though I was being disloyal to Leroy and our memories. I was having anxiety enjoying doing activities with new people. And then the past year or so, I have made progress with this. I don't walk alone. I don't have to live in chaos and insanity. I am humbly proud that Leroy and I raised a respectful, constructive, successful young man. God is still working on His plan for him, and I am so thankful for our son, Travis. I am forgiven. I am truly blessed. I am following the steps of recovery, reaffirming the beatitudes of God's promises and a good plan, God's plan. I have come to know a true relationship with God. I continue to remember that the pain is not wasted as I overcome and deal with each of my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Praise God, I have truly yielded myself to let Him do His best in me. Every December, I celebrate keeping in step with Celebrate Recovery. This year will be 8 years of sobriety also. I am part of the CR leadership and team as the female ambassador coach. I am also part of the welcome team for our Rock Springs family. I believe I am truly part of a family. I have also been blessed to attend Saddleback Celebrate Recovery Leadership Summit. It's like having a hydrant turned loose on you. I believe I am truly part. I have seen the most amazing growth in my fellow brothers and sisters. I am also honored to sponsor other women who are working their recovery too. I serve with the Rock Springs family of God, and God isn't even done with me yet. Newcomers, my fellow brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you by sharing this short glimpse of the struggle that is real. I also want you to see the beautiful glory that has come from allowing God to work His plan, His love and His grace being enough. I want you to know that recovery from life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups is possible. Each step, one at a time, is important. Don't rush it. It didn't take overnight to get where you are. Where you are now matters. It is an ongoing process where we know not what the future is, but we know who holds it. And if you do not know God fully, be patient. The most amazing things are about to happen for you. He will guide you and you will know His grace is enough. I hope that God blesses you in your entire journey. And at this time, I want to get off here really careful. You saw all the cardboard testimonies. And we do acrostics, just like David does acrostics on Sunday mornings. And you have one in your thing. But first of all, I want to give you this. What's my very first cardboard testimony? Am I good? Rejoice, recover, my soul on fire, my Savior saved. And that spells Jesus in the center of my recovery. I give that to you if you want to take that. Okay? Now, as far as your acrostic, okay, so the invitation has been given to you through the video, through what you have seen, through what I have given you. The invitation is there. That what you wrote on your paper, now I want you to write God's love equals your name. Put your name there. Okay? Because that's what's going to happen to you. Because we've done a heart check. And that's the next thing I'm going to give you. You should have it. Looks like this. Everybody got one? Everybody got one. I'm not joking. I want to see pens and paper happening. When you get through your process, I want you to be where I am. H is for healing. E is for enjoying. A is for and. R is for recovering. T is for together. Put that all together for your heart check. This is a good, positive heart check. Healing, enjoying, and recovering together. Amen, my family. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, all right? Okay. Father God, I hope that you have taken my words that you have given to me through my journey and that you plant a seed in someone's heart, that their recovery is important. We do it every day without even knowing it. But a deep, deep relationship with you, Father God, takes us to a place of healing and peace. So many have come and gone, Father God, and they always return to you. But Father God, I just ask that they return in recovery to you, that this is a safe place, a welcoming place. No judgment here. Father God, you know you are in the middle of this. I pray that you are with each person as they leave today, that they take what they have and they give it to you. The full surrender, Father God, for that healing to happen. We love you, Father God, and we're so grateful for everything that you have given us. Your love, your mercy, and grace being enough. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.